Chapter 5 of Mark. We'll begin reading with verse 25. 5:25 of Mark, the second gospel. Just remember, this is an ideal story of a young man that lost his way. Acts 15:36-41, Paul refused to take him on a journey, missionary trip with him and Barnabas because Mark had evidently dropped out sometime before. And then we begin to read, if you want to run the references, in Colossians 4:10 and 2 Timothy 4:11 and 1 Peter 5:13 and Philemon 23 and 24, to name a few places where he's commended. And in particular, 2 Timothy 4:11, where Paul said, "Take Mark and bring him with me, for he's profitable to me for the ministry." Amen. Evidently, Mark had found his priority somewhere. Oh, yeah. So this is a beautiful example of how you could start out and sort of bobble the ball and kind of, you know, slip up, but get a hold of your priorities, and God can still make something out of your life. Isn't that beautiful what the Lord can do? Reading from Mark chapter 5, about 2 or 3 or maybe 4 verses of Scripture, beginning with verse 25. "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she had been healed of that plague." Now I want to read again from verse 25 and 6. That's all. "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." Now, I hope you get the picture of a woman that was sick and had spent many things of many physicians, suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. I want you to get the picture of somebody in a very dire circumstance, a very much pressure under she was. She was hurting. She was down to about the last try. And I want to preach to you tonight. I feel it. In prayer today, I felt it to preach to you on this subject: the desperation of failure. The desperation of failure. She had tried about everything and failed. Till she tried Jesus.
Glory.
Now, just the way it goes, isn't it? The desperation of failure. Would you say those words with me? The desperation of failure. Pray with me that God will bless His word. Raise your hands and pray in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Nobody enjoys failure. He is an unwelcome guest. No one likes to hang their head down in dismal dejection. No one desires for everyone to associate their name with failure.
Amen.
It's only human nature to want to succeed at anything.
Amen.
It's only human nature.
Bless God.
I'm sure there's not a man here and not a woman here, and certainly you young people will learn this later on. But what in some realm of endeavor or another have suffered failure. There's few Midases among us that everything we touch turns to gold. Most of us know the sour grapes of rejection.
That's the truth.
Much lessons are learned in the valleys of failure. But my subject tonight deals not with one failure or two failures or even three or four. But it deals with a continual, perpetual happening. This poor woman couldn't get success no matter how hard she tried. It was failure on the right, on the left, in the morning, in the evening. And after a while, it works on your nerves. Now, we can eat the book, Power of Positive Thinking. We can graduate from a crash course of selling Huber vacuum cleaners, come out with positive attributes.
Yeah.
You can put the plastic face and false mask on that everything's all right only so long. And if you keep failing, it'll eat on your ego. It'll eat on your stamina. It'll eat on your very will to live. It'll crush, humiliate, subject your own personal feelings. Till in the privacy of your midnight hours, laying on your pillow at night, with the tears streaming down your cheeks, you'll honestly confess, God, I'm a failure.
Oh, God.
And of course, when you do this, the devil laughs. For this psychological one-upmanship is what he desires. He wants his boot on your neck. He wants to be able to continually haunt you that you're a flop.
Yes. Right.
And you can't make it no matter how hard you try.
Oh God.
The next thing he eats at you with is give up.
Yeah.
No use even trying anymore. You tried and didn't make it. And you're not going to make it now. I don't want to deal with this tonight because I feel it in my soul and I'm going to come against it in the name of Jesus. Now, the first thing I'm going to do is lay a foundation, telling you positively from the scriptural point of view that Jesus wants you to be a success. John 6:37, Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I'll probably not have any time and let him off. I will in no wise cast out. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will. Everybody say, whosoever will.
Whosoever will.
Say it again.
Whosoever will.
Let him take the water of life freely.
Glory to God.
So that whosoever will is an all-inclusive word. Now, devil, you're a liar if you tell me anything else. John 8:44 already told me you was a murderer and a liar. Revelation 12:10 tells me you're an accuser of the brethren. And 1 Peter 5:8 tells me you're my adversary.
So, devil, I want to tell you, I know you're the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, and I know you're the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2, and I know you're the rulers of the darkness of this world, Ephesians 6:11, but devil, I'm still telling you, I don't believe a word you've got to say. Because I know what you want me to do. You want me to give up, commit spiritual suicide, or hari-kari, and you want me to leap out into the darkness of failure and quit serving God and quit coming to church and quit preaching and quit singing and quit praying and quit fasting and just give it all up. The devil, I want to tell you, you are a liar. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now this heavy laden business takes in psychological, mental problems. Now the heaviest burdens today are not physical. They are mental. And the devil's strong suit today is to try to press your nerves to the breaking point until you have a complete nervous breakdown or exhaustion, and go crazy. He hopes. But you know, I just want to preach a little along the way, if you'll let me. There isn't any of us going to the bunkhouse. There isn't any need of any of us just flat out going crazy or out of our mind or even becoming psychotic or neurotic or possessed with many insecurities. I'm telling you from my heart. If you bring your problems to Jesus like He sent for you to, He's able to help you. You're not big enough to solve your problems. Furthermore, you ain't smart enough either. So He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of us. I thought there was three we had to learn of. Learn of me! Oh, Lord, I don't want to get on this. I could. Oh, Lord, I want to resist it. Because I could preach in Genesis about learning of Jesus. I could preach in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua and Judges and Ruth. Boom, 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 boom. I could preach in all the 66 books of the Bible about learning of Jesus. But anyhow, He said, learn of me. And the more I learn of Him, the less the devil likes it. Because my faith becomes stronger when I see all the problems Jesus can solve. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is hard, and my burden is so heavy. And that's what some of you are really saying with your attitude and your actions and with your speech and your lives. I just can't make it. And the hill's too high. And the load's too heavy. And I don't know what I'm going to do. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now you quit your lying on God, would you?
All right.
Hallelujah. I believe you were custom designed to live for God. I believe He made you in the beginning to walk with Him. He didn't design you to run and flee from your problems. He designed you to look at them in the face and in the name of Jesus, conquer them. In Isaiah 55:1, God said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy me. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You can almost feel the plaintive wail in Jesus' voice in John 5:40 when he told the Jews one day, but ye will not come to me that you might have life. What he was saying was sort of, you try everything else, but you won't come to me. Now, I'm not going to preach against doctors tonight. I'm not going to preach against psychologists and psychiatrists and sociologists and anthropologists and people that really try to lessen the sufferings of humanity. I'm not going to take a slap at them. But I'm going to tell you something. They don't have the answer.
Amen.
And you're going to try this and you're going to try that. and you're going to go here and you're going to go there. And you can almost hear the voice of the Spirit. Why don't you come to church? Why don't you sing? Why don't you pray? Why don't you hear the Word of God so you can have life? You know, there's something terribly encouraging about singing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Now, Karl Marx called religion the opium of the masses. Well, I say pass the opium. Hallelujah. Yes. This is the best thing that ever happened to you, friend. All right. So failure is a hard taskmaster. It whips your brain into a frenzy. It really psychs you out. You can live with failure only so long until it becomes your master.
Right.
Till in your eyes is written defeat. Oh, you may bravely put on a front, but down in your heart, you know, I can't make it. There's no use trying. And so there it is. And it intimidates, brainwashes, and it gets you so jumpy that if it says boo, you'll scream. That's right. Failure is hard to live with.
It is hard to live.
And I could go into many examples, I almost did, of history. Of men who are great that we know, but little is known of their past failures. Verdi, the Italian opera writer, he was an old man before he finally had his success. Tennyson was old when he wrote Crossing the Bar. You remember Grandma Moses? She was an old lady when she got success with painting. Rembrandt, I could speak of many. So you're going to sit here tonight, some of you young, some of you middle-aged, some of you that the sun is going down on. And you've not yet made a mark for God. And the devil, he's looking at you and saying, "Aha, you're through, you're washed up, you just as well quit." I've got some news for you tonight. As long as there's an ounce of strength in your body, as long as you can pray, as long as you can fast, or even read your Bible or go to church, there is the possibility that God can turn it all around. I believe God can do the impossible. Amen? You see, 2 Peter 3:9 said, "It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." 1 Timothy 2:3 said, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved." Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15 said. And of course, God our Savior is defined in 1 Timothy 4:10. Jesus in Luke 19:10 said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now the lost can be just not those that need deliverance from cigarettes or whiskey or from intemperate, ungodly living. But it can be those that are lost in their mind, in their thinking. And those that are under mental pressures. I believe Jesus Christ can bind the demons that are tormenting your mind.
Amen.
I'm preaching tonight from the 5th chapter of Mark, beginning with verse 21. You have your Bibles. I commend you if you have them. If you don't have them, I don't commend you. I'll just put it down. In fact, I'm embarrassed. Especially if you're a preacher here without a Bible, shame on you.
Bless you.
Everybody said amen.
Amen.
From Mark 5:21. "And when Jesus was passed over by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he said, 'Jesus, I'm the chief honcho down at the synagogue down here, and I have this big title, and I want you to know I'm somebody around this town.'"
Yeah.
"Ah! When he saw him, he fell at his feet." I don't know what you come out here to do tonight, but I come out here to fall at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to tell you from my heart, I know where the answers are, at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
When he saw him, he fell at his feet. dwelled on this, but I believe it will humble ourselves. I believe it will weep and it will prostrate ourselves at His feet. I still believe it will worship Him, exalt Him. He's able to work on your problems while you're worshiping. And besought Him much, saying, "My little daughter, my little daughter." It was his daughter, not even him. But he was seized with a spirit of urgency. "My little daughter lieth at home at the point of death." She's about ready to die. And here's what Jairus came to Jesus for. He said, I want to ask you a little request. "I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Now, Jairus believed all Jesus had to do was just put his hands on the situation. And you may call me over simplistic, dealing in glittering generalities, and I've got my head in the clouds, and this is pie in the sky theology. But I'm an old-fashioned believer that if Jesus can put his hand on the situation, everything's going to be all right. We need sometimes to take our hands off and let Jesus put his hands on. And Jairus knew, if Jesus would just come and lay his hands on her, she'd be all right. And that's what I hope you're thinking about tonight. If you've got an unsaved husband, if you've got children that are wayward, if you've got a problem in your home or in your mind, financial or mental or physical or spiritual, then while you're sitting here tonight, you're not trying to outsmart and outfox somebody else. You're just saying, "Jesus, I'm going to worship you. Now while I'm worshiping, I just wish you'd put your hands on that situation. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Even though his daughter was at the point of death, Jairus had faith that Jesus could snatch victory right from the jaws of defeat. And Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and thronged him. I want you to notice, as the entourage, this parade starts down the road, there was a gang of people around Jesus. Seemed like there always is. A bunch of people there. It's the devil, he'll tell you that. There's too many people between you and Jesus. Too many obstacles. You can't really touch him. He's a busy man. He's not concerned with your trivial problems. But here he comes down the road now. Much people followed him, and not only followed, but thronged him, meaning they jostled up against him, and they mean they stumbled up against him, and they compassed about him, and they went down the road. A mile of people thronging Jesus as they went down the road. Now here they come, here they come, here they come. Now I introduce to you, I don't even know her name. Don't even know her address. The Bible just said, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, 12 years, 12 long years she had been sick." I don't want to make a play on words, but I kind of think she was sick and tired of being sick and tired myself. I don't know whether you've psyched yourself up to indeed put up with your problem and indeed be able to cope with it, you know, and be able to sort of say, "Well, it's mine and I'll just keep it." I hope you're not that way tonight, because no matter what the problem may be, spiritual, mental, or physical, don't you ever give up. Don't you ever give up. I want you to keep in your mind that tonight could be the night when Jesus Christ is going to give you victory and give you deliverance. I tell you, sometimes you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you want to move of the Spirit, and you want the anointing, and you want some healing, and you want the blessing, and you want revival, and you want God to pour His Spirit out. Now the Bible said, "And had suffered many things of many physicians." She had gone to Mayo Clinic, and probably the Houston heart specialist. She had went to every renowned doctor that she had heard about, who dispatched her with whatever herbs or diagnosis they could do. Now, I'm not lambasting doctors. I don't think you fail God if you go to a doctor. That is, as long as you really give Jesus a good try. Some people don't do that, you know. They reach for the bottle of aspirins or tranquilizers or something else, maybe, first. And then, if that don't work, they'll try Jesus. I think we'd all be better off if we tried Jesus. Amen. You don't need to tighten up on me because it won't do you a bit of good. You just want to say amen. And I've been tightened up on by professionals. I don't do a bit of good. So just well loose up here, my friend. And had suffered many things of many physicians. Now, not all doctors are sincere practitioners. I'm not throwing them all together, but there's some that are mercilessly, what I term, greedy. All they want's money. All they want's fame. All they want is to make a good, high-heeled living. Not all of them, not of any stretch of the imagination, saying that. But sometimes they'll just keep you coming to take your money. And really, when it comes down to it, your answer's not going to a head shrink. Your answer's not going to some psychologist to probe the hidden recesses of your mind while you're laying on a couch, giving him $50 an hour for him to ask you, did you hate your mama when you was in the cradle with your rattler and she wouldn't let you have the pacifier and you wouldn't get the pacifier? So that's your insecurity, no doubt. And that's the root cause of why you and your husband can't get along, or why you can't cope with your children or cope with life. Capitalizes on. But I'm going to tell you as I drift along with this, I don't care what it is, my Jesus is still able to straighten the mess out. And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had. Now when you get sick, I'm talking about bad sick, money don't mean a whole lot to you then. When your life's in danger, like the boys in the boat with Jonah, you'll throw everything overboard to save your skin. That is, if you're normal. Now, if you're one of them skin flints, Scrooges, tightwads, wouldn't give a nickel, see, they need a bale of hay, and you're so tight you squeak when you walk, you are the, something else. Well, you're not normal, but a normal individual. If they're possessing a dread sickness, they'll spend everything they've got trying to get well. She mortgaged her home. She depleted her bank account. Wrote every check out of the checking account she had. She sold her antiques. She had garage sales. My, she spent all that she had. She gave everything away trying to get well. But the Bible said, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Steady by little and little, she realized she wasn't getting better. She woke up with the same pain. She was coping with the same feeling every day. She wasn't getting any better from that medicine and from that renowned doctor's visit. She realized that she was sinking. She was going down for the third time. She realized that the sun was setting and her life was going to be over. She was nothing better, but rather grew worse. The Bible said when she had heard of Jesus. I don't know how she heard. It could have been at the laundromat when she's washing her clothes. Somebody could have said, oh, Maggie, if you could just get to Jesus. If Jesus could just come to your house. If you could just let him touch you. If there could just be some way you could receive some attention from him, everything would be all right. But anyhow, when she had heard of Jesus. She no doubt looked out her window and saw that crowd coming down the road. That entourage, that march, that mob of people, that gang, that parade. And she realized something particularly different was going on. And when she heard that it was Jesus passing by her house, she realized now's the time to go for broke. Now's the time to shoot the whole world. Now's the time to give it every last ounce of strength I have. Now's the time to take the plunge. Now's the time to let it all hang out. Now's the time. Like the lepers at the gate, she got possessed with an urgency that was an emergency. She said, no doubt, why sit here till I die? I'm going to try him. I've tried everything else. I'm going to try him. When she had heard of Jesus, the Bible said she came in the press behind. She sort of let the parade go by her front door, and she got kind of behind the gang of people. But I'm going to tell you something from my heart. I believe when Jesus passed 1107 Elm Street, he knew who was living there. He knew what sickness she had. He knew how long she had had that sickness. And you know what? I believe Jesus was thinking in his mind, come on out of the house, woman. Come on out of the house, woman. You cried out of the house. Give me a sign. I believe that with all my heart. And when that woman came out and drifted behind the people, and she came in the press behind, I kind of think Jesus in his heart was saying, now don't be discouraged, woman. There's a lot of people between you and me. There's a lot of obstacles between you and me. Don't let it stop you. Press your way.
Amen.
You need help. Amen. It's the bottom of the ninth, and you've got two strikes on you, and there's two outs.
Amen.
And woman, you're at the end of the rope, and there ain't no knot to hang on to. Woman, this is it. If you don't make it now, you're going to die a failure. Come on now. Come on now.
I need that in my heart.
The Bible said she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, I don't know of a scripture that preaches that anywhere. But her faith told her, all you got to do is touch him, woman. Her faith told her, all you got to do is reach out and touch him. Oh, yes. The obstacles may be many, but woman, if you can just touch Jesus, everything's going to be all right. I don't know what problems you got tonight, but I'm here to encourage you. Your faith's trying to talk to you. If you can just reach out and touch him, 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 everything's going to be all right. He said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, I don't know how she made her way through the crowd. Just imagination has to tell you. Maybe there was people as she come through the crowd said, I got here first. I said, what's a big idea? Get in your place, woman. I'm there. What do you mean? She said, I'm going to touch him, and you ain't going to stop me from touching. You just won't get out of my way. I'm here today to touch Jesus. Just step over, buddy. I'm coming through. You mean to tell you something? She might have had to go down and crawl.
Amen.
Undignified her ladylike behavior, maybe, to get down and crawl through. I don't know, but I do know this. She made up her mind she was going to touch Jesus. She made up her mind she was going to touch Jesus. You mean to tell you that need the Holy Ghost something? You mean to tell you that need healing something? You mean to tell you that need a blessing tonight something? Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Well, she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She made her way through the crowd, Jesus knowing what was happening all the time. I think really in my heart, as he passed 1107 Elm, he knew what it was. He was saying, no doubt, in his own thinking,
Now, come on, woman. You're not but 15 feet away now. I know just where you're at. You're standing over by that bald-headed fella. That big old fat slob won't let you around. But come on around in anyhow, woman. Well, I know who's in front of you now, woman. It's that fan, that one that only wants autographs and wants to eat the loaves and the fishes and comes around just for the miracles, but really don't want to follow me. Just get on around her too, woman. Don't have nobody. Come on now, come on. I really believe in my heart Jesus wanted her to touch him. And I believe Jesus wants you to touch him. I believe Jesus wants you to have the Holy Ghost. I believe Jesus wants you to be healed tonight. God forbid us to preach a negative, pessimistic gospel that all the time says retreat, retrench, back up, give up, too black night, too many battles, too many heavy loads, fully on you. I believe if I can touch Jesus, everything's going to be all right. Praise the Lord. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, everybody say straightway. The fountain of her blood was dried up. And she reached out and just touched the clothes of Jesus. Just brushed his clothes. Straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And there was people around him, but she reached out and touched him with the touch of faith. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she had been healed of that plague. Now you myopic, unbalanced theologians that troop the country saying you can't feel nothing. You are balls that's so narrow-minded, a BB put both eyes out, that say you can't feel nothing. I got news for you. When Jesus touches you, you can feel it. When he heals your body, you can feel it. You can feel it when he blesses you. You can feel it when he answers a prayer. When the power of God is rampant, you can feel it. In fact, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel, two hoops, and a barley knife, and a worn out shoe for a religion you couldn't feel. Lord, give me something I can feel. I'm talking about feeling in your feet, feeling in your hands. You don't have to sit there stoic like Kalaja, the wooden Indian man. Or like an owl on a tombstone, just blinking your eyes every now and then. Dead corner, never said amen so long you'd break your face if you did. You need to get touched tonight. I ain't no need of you going crazy trying to cope with your psychological problems or those of others. Just let Jesus touch you tonight. Let him touch your mind. Let him touch your heart. Let him touch your life. Now, some of you died in the wool, dried out sepulchers, manned by a frozen crew. Now, you just go ahead and dig your grave and get in it. As for me, I want to feel the Lord every now and then. For she felt in her body. You can be absolutely sure when God touches you, you can feel it in your body. See, I ain't going to let you come up here limping and saying, pray for me, preacher. And I, in the name of the Lord God Almighty, in Jesus' name, be healed. You're healed. Send $10 to the Way of the Cross, box 784973, zip code 32184. We'll get you on our mailing list. You're healed. Then go back to your seat. I'm healed. I'm healed. I don't believe such things. Father, when you receive us healed, you're healed in your body. To deal with reality. Real salvation deals with reality. Not philosophically. Not with metaphors or strange proverbs or old wives' fables. I'm dealing with reality scripturally tonight. I'm telling you, you can feel it when the Lord touches you.
And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she had been healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?"
Jesus, immediately knowing, he knew when it happened. He knew why it happened. And he knew who touched him.
He turned about and stopped the parade. Just stopped the whole shooting match right there. And he turned him around in the cross and he said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, who touched me? And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" In other words, Jesus, now, wait a minute. Now, you out of your trees. You off your rocker, man. You look crazy. You see these people jostling up against you, brushing up against you, elbowing into you, and you say, "Who touched me?" But you see, brothers and sisters of the apostolic faith, there's a touch, and then there's a touch. There is a service, and then there's a service. Oh, you hear me tonight? You can be like those in the crowd. Just be here. I don't want to be just people in the crowd. Nameless faces, a sea of humanity. No, I want to be like the little woman that touched him. I came out here to touch him tonight. I didn't come out here to get lost in a sea of faces. I come out here to touch him. Well, he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. He knew who it was. He just stopped the parade. Poor little woman, no doubt, thought, "Now, I don't want to cause Jesus no embarrassment. I'm just going to touch him. I'm going to get my healing. And I'm going to just kind of just ease my way out of the crowd and go home and finish my dirty dishes." But on her way out, everybody stopped. The parade stopped. And she heard Jesus saying something about somebody touching him. And she knew that it was all over then. The Bible said, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, came and fell down." She was shaking like a leaf in the autumn wind. She was afraid. No doubt in her mind it already flashed that if he's able to heal me by just touching his garment, that man's got some power. Now he's going to do something to me like he's never been done before. I may really get sick now. She didn't want to. She got scared. Of course, you know, some religions like to deal in scare tactics, you know, like the simplistic, I won't call them bad names, the Buddhas that say you're on an endless bound of reincarnation. And you just, the only way to get off is to basically get to a higher level of a caste system that you have to be born into until you'll finally reach nirvana, a state of passionless peace. And if you don't live too good, you might come back like a frog or an ant. That's what they say, you know. And you better be careful now. You don't treat me right, you might come back as a frog. Well, I think the way some people hop around from trouble to trouble, they might be frogs anyhow. I don't know. Heard a Buddha say one time, a follower of Hinduism that was converted to Christianity, I heard him say it, that he realized he had to worship the cow because that was sacred. And so he, 2 hours a day, worshiped a cow. Did this day after day. And he worshiped that cow, thought he was going to merit some goodness. Till one day the cow charged him. I'm not telling no story. I heard him say this. And he said, "I quit worshiping the cow." Well, you see, that scare tactics. Jesus don't deal in scare tactics. I'm not standing up here with thunder and lightning saying you better serve God. I'll pinch your everlasting head, slick off of your body. God's not there to tell you, "Look here, I'll burn you up if you don't serve me." No! Calvary is the highest expression of love this world
tranquility.
Amen. But the woman, fearing and trembling, came and fell down before him. She made her way back through that crowd, and they all cleared back this time. They realized that it could be a little trouble now, you know. They made a path for her now. They came, stood back. She came and fell down before him. Just fell down before him. And told him all the truth. I like that. I really do. I wish you'd read that. I wish you had your Bible. Shame on you for not having it. And told him all the truth. I can almost hear her. When she fell down before him, she began to tell Jesus, "Oh, Jesus, I've been sick 12 years, and I've been in pain. Have mercy on me. I'm so tired of carrying this illness around. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Don't condemn me, Jesus. I've tried doctors, I've tried medicine, I've spent my money. I'm walking. Please, you don't know what I have left. I was tired and weary. Everything else had failed. And if you couldn't help me, no one could." She unloaded. She called him every day. I don't know whether you get this or not, but if you want the Lord to really do something intrinsically, that is, in your heart, down in the deep recesses of your mind, in the basement of your soul, if you want the Lord to really do something for you, you've got to tell him all the truth. Just tell him all the truth. If you're sick and tired tonight of being sick and tired, tell him about it. If you're tired of living without the Holy Ghost and you really want the Holy Ghost, sir, come and tell him.
Amen.
I want to tell my Jesus. That's how you get somewhere with God. If you've got a problem that's about to put you under, just come down here and just get with it. Lord, this problem's about to kill me. Now you've got to help me, Jesus. I can't handle it no more. Just unload on him. The woman, fearing and trembling, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." It wasn't these people around here, it was your faith. Go in peace. Everybody say, "Go in peace."
Go in peace.
"And be whole of thy plague."
Oh,
Lord. Let me tell you something. I hope you all don't get impatient with me tonight, because I live these stories when I preach them. I can see it in my mind like a kaleidoscope. I can see that woman down before Jesus with her head down, and she told him all the truth. And then when she heard him say that word, "daughter," just that one word, "daughter," you know what she thought? Hey, everything's going to be all right. He called me daughter. Whoa! I really do. "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.
Go.
And behold thy plague." I could see the lady get up, shake the dust of the road off of her garments, shake herself, turn around in the middle of that crowd, and she'd probably give it this. Kind of like, "I got what I came after. I got what I came after. Now you can just walk down the road, but I got what I came after." I tell you tonight, that you come after something, you can have it. There she goes. Talking about the desperation of failure. Something about the death grip of a dying man that's hard to tie loose. Something about the scream of a drowning person going down for the third time. It's got an urgency about it. If I could somehow inspire in you that kind of tenacity and bulldog determination, if I could scrape away all those layers of slothfulness and lukewarmness. You know what happened to this church? You'll have revival. You know what happened to your problems? They'll be like mountains. They'll go jump in the sea. I believe that tonight. Alright. Here goes the woman down the road. Jesus has got the parade stopped. While he yet spake, there came
from the house of the ruler of the synagogue, certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" You remember Jairus? They were on their way to heal his daughter. Remember? Well, Jesus had got detoured, stopped. And in the meantime, while they were there, 1107 Elm, you know, his daughter had died. And here comes a runner bringing the sad news. Now, Jairus could have got mad. And like last night's older son with the prodigal, he could have pouted about it.
Yeah.
He could have said, "Jesus, I was number one on your list. You was on your way to my house. And if we had to stop at that woman's house that was dying anyhow." If we had to stop there at that place where she was a failure anyhow, she ain't no hope for her anyhow. My daughter would have been healed. He could have said all that, but he didn't. I somehow think that Jairus had put his faith in Jesus. That he knew what he was doing. I still believe Jesus knows what he's doing. Well, when that runner came and said, "Thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further?" He started saying, "Now, Jairus, just go on back to the bank, count your money, and go back to your business. Your daughter's dead. Just get the funeral arrangements ready." I like some churches, you know, try to tell some evangelists, tell some pastors, tell some.
Yeah.
Ain't no need having revival around here.
Start over the field.
Just well give up. Don't invite so-and-so if they've been invited 59 times. I believe with all things, God, that is, all things are possible with God. All right, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." You talk about talking somebody's wagon wheel. Jesus turned around and said to Jairus, "Don't fret, don't stew, don't be nervous, don't go to pieces. Don't even be afraid, just believe everything's going to be all right." That's the kind of faith we need to have in Jesus. If his word said it, I believe it, and that settled it. Be not afraid, only believe. Don't throw your faith away, just hold on. David said, "Once I was young, now am I old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." That's the truth. There's 30,000 plus promises in the Bible. I'd go through a bunch of them. I could say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I'd go through a bunch of them. But I just want to tell you, whatever your particular, peculiar, unique set of circumstances are tonight, in your own personal life, you may think that it's all over. I can't make it, or the situation's about got me. Be not afraid. Only believe. He hadn't failed anybody yet, had he? And I tell you, seeing the Holy Ghost something else. If you die without the Holy Ghost tonight, and you've given everything you've got seeking for the Holy Ghost, you've done everything the Word of God says for you to do to receive the Holy Ghost, you've laid everything on the altar, in other words, you've done your part, and you die without it, you can stand up at the white throne of judgment, sir, point your finger in the face of God and say, "You're a liar. You didn't do what you said you would do." But let me tell you something. You'll never, ever be able to do such a deed as that. Let me tell you, if you do your part, God will do his. That's what 2 Chronicles 7:14 is saying. If thou will, I will. Now, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to them, "The ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Now here they go. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult. He sees all the people running to and fro, in and out, doors are slamming, windows are banging, drawers of the kitchen cabinets are slamming back and forth, everything getting. Sees a tumult, confusion. "And them that wept and wailed greatly." Oh, it was a funeral. Oh, crying. "Jairus' daughter is dead.
funeral atmosphere had already descended on that house.
I've been to some churches like that.
You walk in the door and the black crepe hits you in the face.
Yeah.
You come down the aisle and you feel like you're walking in a mortuary. You need to walk real easy. And when you get ready to preach, you really feel like saying, "Dearly beloved." We'll gather together here to pay our last respects to our dear departed loved one. Woo! This ain't no funeral, my friends. I didn't come to a funeral. So Jesus, he gets there and he sees the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come into the house, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? And what's all this bawling and a squalling going on for? What are you crying and saying it's hopeless and oh, what a tragedy and she's gone and we'll never see her face again? Why make ye this ado and weep?" And you know, I look at some of you really are conducting funerals in your life. No wonder your husband can't hardly live with you. You've got such a pessimistic attitude. Oh, we can't make it. Oh, this is well, give up. Oh, the devil's too big and the water's too deep and the mountain's too high. And then some of you men, thinking you're He-Man. Oh, I don't see how we can afford to pay our tithes this week. Oh, I'm coming as fast as I can.
And I just say it this way. There's no need for you to have a funeral spirit around your house. When Jesus is in your life, you don't need to go to a funeral every day. When Jesus is in your church and in your ministry, your services don't need to be a funeral parlor every time. Brother, there's joy in the house of God. There's peace in the house of God. There's happiness. There's deliverance. There's healing in the house of God. I didn't come here to conduct a wake or a funeral and read an obituary. I come here to tell the devil, get out of here.
When he was coming to the house, he saith unto them,
"Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." She just taking a nap. You know what the Bible says?
And they laughed him to scorn. They that were weeping a few moments ago were now hilariously laughing themselves silly. Now, I never could understand how someone could weep and then in the next instant just be laughing. Did you hear what that fellow with the long face come in here with?
He said that damsel's just taking a nap. I know she's dead. He's out of his mind. They laughed him to scorn. That meant they ridiculed him. That meant they sat-eyed him, leered him. That meant they really thought he was loony, goofy, crazy. That meant he said he's asleep. Crazy.
You know, I've met some laughers in my day. You know, I've met some laughers in my day.
There seem to be a few of them in the house of God everywhere you go. To get up and preach, God can give us revival. And they, we ain't had a revival in years. God can heal cancer, our leukemia, our cirrhosis of the liver, our arthritic condition. God can solve so-and-so's minor problems. He can give you a job. God can give that brother back there the Holy Ghost tonight. I've met some laughers in my day. If I was you, I'd be careful laughing at what God can do. I believe He can do anything. I believe He can turn this service around tonight.
Sir,
though they're not here by their profound absence, these psychologists and psychiatrists and the studied sociologists with their horn-rimmed thick glasses and thick books, not among us, because they don't think there's an answer in this Holy Ghost phenomenon with this glossolalia talking in tongues. They look upon us as a bunch of goofy crazies that are but hanger-outers at some emotional hangout, and we don't have anything. It's just a release of the emotions. But let me tell you, Mr. Educated Nut, you better not laugh at what Jesus can do. I've seen Him take a drunkard and straighten his life out. I've seen Him take a cuckold and straighten his life out. I've seen Him take marriages and straighten their lives out. I believe He's able, don't you? And they laughed Him to scorn. I wouldn't laugh if I was you in my church. Don't laugh when your preacher gets up and says, God's going to give us revival. I believe in the nine gifts of the Spirit. I believe in the Word of God. It says what it means, it means what it says. Don't sit back there and laugh. Don't laugh when people are praying down at the altar seeking God. And they may be acting a little funny. We've all seen people shout in funny ways. I'm not talking about laughing with them. I'm not talking about that. We all get our share of laughs. But you know, kind of sitting back and giving them the laugh like they're just crazy. You know, they don't know what they're doing. Look at them if they're acting that way. Oh, they're probably under some hypnotic trance or there's some kind of spell. And they're so crazy. Some of us said that, didn't we? I never act that way when I go to church. And if I ever receive that Holy Ghost, I'll never jump around like a chicken with its head off. You know, me jump the pew, no way, Ray. Me swing on the chandelier. Me jump up and dirt flips. No, rolling, no, not me. I'm going to be dignified. Now, we said that too, didn't we? Oh, let me tell you, I win that fight. But I tell you that night, something got a hold of me. It's the Holy Ghost. And I still believe in Holy Ghost revival, Holy Ghost preaching, Holy Ghost services. In fact, Lord, I know you love me. Now, it's up to you because you've got your own sovereign will. But I tell you what, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if you'd put a herky-jerky on about 9/10 of these people tonight. You know, some of these here, let them shout their hair down or off. Whichever, don't make any difference. Oh, God, I wish you'd get a hold of some of these. Oh, they're uptight and they're all got problems and they don't know how they're going to make it. They don't really know that just an hour in your presence, just an hour in your presence, just saturated with your presence, will do more to wipe out their problems and give them strength than anything else I know. I'm not going to laugh. Well, if one of you jumped up and does the spiritual walk to see, I'm not going to laugh. I say, bless him, Jesus, bless him, Jesus, bless him, Jesus, bless him, Jesus, bless him, Jesus. Would you say amen?
Amen.
And they laughed in the storm.
Praise God.
But when he had put them all
out. You know, Jesus only takes so much. He don't like to work where there's mocking derision. He stopped the show.
He did.
And he said, "Hey, laugher, out. You laughing at me when I say I can do this and she's just sleeping? Out. You back there don't think I can give revival to the apostolic church. You that don't think that I can be the best thing a young man or woman's ever had in their life. And if they don't engage in illicit immorality and some finger popping discotheque dancing or running wild with some dope crazy crowd, they don't get their kicks that way, they're missing it. You that laugh have been blessed in the Spirit and been blessed in the Holy Ghost, and the best hours of your life are when you feel God. You that laugh at it. Out! He put the laughers out! It might be well if the same Holy Ghost would pay and walk down these aisles and stop at our pew and eat those aisles. Come on now. Whether secretly, intrinsically, laughing at what the preacher's saying in the Word of God. Say, oh, maybe not now openly, but in our hearts. We're laughing. He knows when you're laughing. Amen. He knew when Sarah laughed. He knew when you laughed too. What would he do if he stopped by your pew and he looked over and say, hey, you with the long hair and the skirt down to your heels, you still laughing at me that I can't do this. Out.
Amen.
You know what I made up my mind? I ain't gonna laugh. If the Lord says jump, I'm gonna say, how high, sir? On the way up. If the Lord said, I can do so and so, I said, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. If the Lord says, nothing can separate you from the love of God, I'm going to say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. If the Lord said, and he did, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, I'm going to say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. He put the laughers out. Now, ain't no need you come down here praying if you really secretly laugh at the fact God can do some things. Amen. But when he had put them all out, oh, well, I'm going to preach on that tomorrow. Maybe I'll preach on that tomorrow. Our modernism, you know, that paralyzes our spirituality sometimes. And we got a certain routine we got to go by in our services. Or, you know, we're not doing things decently in order. But we got to be sure to do things. And the choir don't get to sing on Sunday night, they're all going to pout. Yeah, you better be sure Sister CKQ gets to sing her special ditty. If she don't get to sing her special number, she ain't gonna like it. You don't want me to preach, you don't want me not to preach. You know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to let the Holy Ghost run this show.
Amen.
You know what I think? I think it's all right with me if God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost right.
Amen. Yes.
It's all right with me. If he heals you without me laying my hands on you,
yes.
It's all right with me. Right now, he gives you the answer to that problem. You've been wondering what to do. I tell you, I don't think we have to wait till all this. We have to wait, wait, wait. No, I ain't laughing at what God can do. He can do anything. He put the laughers out. When he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. There she is. They're standing in there now. And he took
the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel,
depressions and your personality quirks that are abrasive to everybody else. I wish he'd look at you right in the eye and say, Talitha cumi! Brother, damsel, sister, I say unto thee, arise! Come out of that mental fog bank! Come on out of that mental depression! My heart. I hope that you've got the theme, the desperation of failure, and in the blackest of the dark midnights of despair, don't give up. When the devil said it's no use to try, you keep loving. I hope you've got the thrust of it tonight. That when the world says no, Jesus can still say yes. I want to show you now in closing. She arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it. As if Jesus knew in his heart, you ain't going to keep this quiet. Anyhow, he charged them straightly that no man should know it. He commanded that something should be given her to eat. Well, there's a story. I got something else I want to tell you. Remember the lapers? Remember the lapers? Everybody remember the lapers?
Yeah.
They probably stand out on the lawn. I just imagine them kind of people don't really go away. They gotta give them a seat. We'll wait this thing out. By and by, he gotta come out of the room. And that maid in there, she's dead. We don't have to bury her. So we're just waiting out. I believe that. I believe it. I believe it. I'm just standing right out there on the lawn. Just standing out there waiting. He can put us out, but we'll get the last laugh. He who laughs last laughs the best, you know. Now, I'm adding to the scripture, but I don't think I'm doing violence to the text. Because Jesus had to come out of that room. He wasn't going to live in there. And neither was
his the mama and the daddy of the damsel, and neither was Peter, James, and John living there. And neither was the damsel from living there either. And I can almost see it now when they watch the door, and here comes Jesus, here he comes out. Yeah, there he goes. Here comes Peter, James, and John. Yeah, there they go. Now, who's that coming now? Well, that's the mom and the dad of the dancer. See, I was with his wife, poor thing. He said, who's that behind? Who's that behind? Who's that fair-headed maiden walking behind? Well, I declare, that's the daughter of Jairus! He did what he said he would do! How many of you believe tonight he's able to do what he said he would do? All right. Turn around and lay hands on somebody. Brother with a brother, sister with a sister. I want you to pray for somebody close to you. They may have a problem they need help with. Come on, let's pray. For everyone to come and stand. I'm going to ask us as we prepare to sing again like we did at the beginning, what a friend we have in Jesus. Sing it the same way. I don't want no funeral songs tonight. No funeral. I said no funeral. I don't want no funerals. I don't want no slow funeral songs tonight. We're not looking at it. I'm going to ask anybody, sir, you want the Holy Ghost? I want you to come down here. Ma'am, you want the Holy Ghost? Why don't you come here? Ma'am, sir, you got a problem. Something you can't get the victory over. It's about to press you down. I don't want you to tell me. Won't you come down here and tell Jesus?
Amen.
Now, if the Spirit of God comes down, and don't any of you think, wonder what they've done. I'm not insinuating they've done anything. Maybe they just got something they want victory.
Amen.
They even got a situation of time.
Yeah.
Living around. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Maybe it's a physical infirmity. But whatever it is, and there's too many cops that can stand, but really, I know it's all right for them to stand up here on this platform. And we preachers are going to pray for you. And these saints are going to pray for you. Now, I want you to come. I don't want to beg you. I'm not going to beg you. I think I'll preach to you that if you'll get desperate, forget what people think about you. Get desperate. Come on out of there. Say, God, what you've done for others, I want you to do for me. I'm tired of being a reject. Come on out. You'll do something for me. All right.
these tonight.